Hello and welcome to The Laydown, a podcast where three booksellers from Gibson's Bookstore in Concord, New Hampshire chat about all things literary. My name is Ryan.
I'm Hillary.
And I'm Kelso.
Hi guys, how we doing?
Hanging in there.
Week 1 million of lockdown.
Right? It's been a while.
Surprisingly okay for the most part. My mood has gone into the pits of despair. Now it's like, this is the new normal. So it feels awkwardly okay right now. Like, I don't feel like the world is going to end at any second anymore. So that's kind of nice.
That's good.
Although we're lucky because we get to go to work and see each other.
True.
It's true.
That's been, I think, the only, not the only, but one of the saving graces of this whole thing is that even though Gibson's has been closed to the public, like, we're still doing shipping and curbside and processing orders and things like that. So we've been able to, like, be in the store at least a couple days a week. And it's been so nice to be like, one of my bookseller friends for another bookstore just went in and before all this happened, they were planning on, like, moving and expanding their store, and then quarantine happened, so they never got to, like, do it. And so she actually got to go in yesterday and, like, move in a bunch of the books into the new shelves, and, like, she was just so happy to be, like, among the books and in the store. And I was like, yeah, no, I've definitely I have not been taking for granted the fact that we get to go into the bookstore every week and be around the books and see our coworkers from a distance and
behind the masks.
Yeah. All wearing our cool masks that our coworker Elizabeth made us. But yeah, no, I'm kind of where Kelso's at. I'm sort of in a place of, like, I've kind of accepted this as the current normal. And it hasn't been terrible, but it's also nice because, like, I mean, I live in the woods, right? So I never really saw people anyway. I live on a mountain and I'm an introvert. So I never really went anywhere except for work anyway. So it really hasn't changed my life that much, except that my husband is now home all the time and my daughter is home all the time. So, you know, there's that. But in general, it's like, okay, this is, I can do this.
Yeah, I've been out in the garden a lot.
I just repotted some of my plants just today.
That's awesome. Cordy and I planted some seeds yesterday. We're going to start trying to grow some flowers from seeds because we were watching some show, and I think it was like a fantasy show because there were these, like, dancing sunflowers, and she was super into them. She loved them so much. And I was like, that's a real plant, you know? And she was like, what? And I Googled sunflowers and showed her, and she got so excited. And I was like, would you like to plant some sunflowers? And she was like, yes. She's 2 and a half. So, you know, she gets that excited about everything. But this was something that she honestly, like, continued to be that excited about for, like, a week or two. So we got some seeds for some giant sunflowers and some sunflower mixes. We're going to try to make, like, a natural fencing around the border of our property with some giant sunflowers.
There's a beautiful book for gardening book for kids. I think it's called Sunflower Houses and something else, but it's about that. One of the projects is you make a little room out of sunflowers and you plant grass and then you grow morning glories to make the climb up the sunflowers and make the roof. And I actually did this for my kids and it worked and it was so sweet and adorable.
That's so cool. Oh,
I have to see if it's still in print. We can put it up on our podcast links.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to be, like, pawing through our gardening section. Cause I know we do have some gardening books for kids and I just want some for myself too. Cause we have, we have a lot of space for gardens, but it just needs to be sort of, you know, cultivated and whatnot. So, right now we're sort of, like, scattering seeds and just sort of like, all right, we're going to put some, like, butterfly friendly plants over here and stuff like that. And then we actually are going to We're going to be popping into some of the local nurseries for like berry bushes and things like that, because we want to be able to grow things like that. So we'll get some bushes and some plants that are not starting as seeds. So it'll be really fun. But so yeah, that's, I have also been in the gardening section of quarantine, just out in the dirt. What have we all been reading recently? Cause I definitely have the quarantine brain fog, which makes it a little bit harder for me to sit down and just read for an extended period of time. Like my brain can't focus on it, but the last few days I have been able to like, okay, I'm going to go like plug my phone in upstairs. I'm going to put my computer in the other room. I'm going to shut the door and I'm just going to read for like 2 hours and see what happens. And so I've been getting back into it. But what have you been reading?
I am about halfway through a book that is not out until September. Susanna Clarke's Piranesi.
Piranesi, yes.
How do we say it? Is it Piranesi or I haven't heard anyone say it out loud yet.
It's Piranesi, but I could Piranesi. Be wrong.
I also have the arc of this. How are you liking it?
So I'm really enjoying it. So it's one of those very, so I've never read any of Susanna Clarke's work. Yeah. And I keep hearing that if you really, I want it, because whenever I see Jonathan Strange and Dr. Norrell, I think is the title of her first book.
Yes. I just call it Strange and Norrell because it is. It's like Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell.
Mr. Norrell.
Y'all know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
So when I see that book on the shelf, it's this huge honker, and I'm like, I'm never going to have any time to read that. What if I don't like it after 20 pages in? Because I don't.
Right.
I feel like I'm committing a lot when I have to get a thick book.
Yep.
So this one is about 230, 250 pages. So it's a standard size.
Short
for her.
For her, it's short.
Right. So I'm like, okay, I can devote some time to this and be good about it. And it is a magical, strange, confusing puzzle box labyrinth of a book. So the premise of this book that I've gathered so far without really trying to give anything away is you are immediately dropped in the middle of this never-ending house, mansion structure, labyrinthine structure, and hallways go on for literally miles and miles. There are different rooms and halls, and there's all these statues, and there are clouds. It's a crumbling, like, ruins mansion that just kind of has its own life, and it's basically this character who is named, he had been given the name Piranesi, title of the character, the main character of the story, and he writes in a journal, so it's all of his journal entries, and you kind of see, we have to figure out why he's here, what had happened, like, you're just trying to figure out who this person is, why are they doing all of these journals, and what is it about this house, and he sees other people. He sees one other person. He calls that person the other. Mm-hmm. And they're like in communication trying to figure out this like great and powerful knowledge. But then he decides, and then there's nothing else. There's an ocean that like keeps coming and going with the tides, and there are clouds. Like it's just this like magical labyrinth of things. And I know the me trying to even describe it as a little wonky, but like that's the way the book makes you feel. You're just kind of put upside down and you're trying to figure out how things are going on and like what the structure of this book is. And you can't really necessarily figure it out. And it's wonderful to kind of get lost in this book. She's really good at immersing yourself in her world. Mm-hmm. I didn't think I was going to enjoy it, but I'm really enjoying this ride of being like, okay, what is going on? What's going to happen next? And
yeah,
it's fun.
She's an amazing writer. And it's funny because Strange and Norrell was the first book that my now husband ever gave me. He was like, we went on our first date and he was like, you need to read this book. I was like, Okay. And that one's tough. Like that one is, it's really, really long and there's like footnotes and it takes a while to like get into it. But once you get into it, it's amazing. But the new one, I feel like it, she pulls you in immediately because it's like in the middle of the, not action, but like you're just in it. It's very, very immersive. Yeah. And it actually like the, it reminds me a lot, and this is probably just because my brain is always here, but it reminds me a lot of The Starless Sea in like this, the sort of descriptions of the, she says it's not a library, but the library, The Starless Sea, the place with all the books, right. Her descriptions of that remind me a lot of sort of this kind of like labyrinthian house. And I just love the idea that this guy lives in this house. He's never seen the entire house. Like you can't go from the end of one hallway to the other. Like it just is constantly growing and shifting and moving. And it's like a little bit Hogwarts, a little bit Starless Sea. And then like, there's just this other person and you're like, who are you? yeah, really, really magical, really cool. And her writing is so rich. I was so excited when she announced that she was writing a new book. Like last year, I was like, wait, what? but yeah, it's interesting. It's so Strange and Normal is cool. Like that one is there. Not to keep talking about Erin Morgenstern, but hi, it's me. She was inspired a lot by that book for The Night Circus, because that one is, it's like two magicians basically. And it's, the setup is different from The Night Circus. It's not like they're like, they kind of are battling a little bit, but not really. But it's like their processes for doing magic are so drastically different. Like one of them is very like by the book, like repetition. Like he has like an intense library and he does his magic very like specifically and he researches and whatever. And the other guy's kind of like ba-ding, 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 ba-doom, and like poof. Like he's very like shooting from the hip type magic. And it's like fascinating. It's like these two magicians in London during
the Napoleonic War.
Yeah. And it's like, I just remember like there's one scene that just has always stuck with me because of the descriptions, but like there are like ships approach, like the enemy army is approaching by sea. And so the magicians, like, they create this like army of ships out of like the mist and the fog and the water so that the other army retreats. It's like, but like the description of like the, all of a sudden these like ghostly ships just appearing out of nowhere and the other people are like, what is happening? And it's, yeah, it's cool, but it's interesting because it's written with the footnotes and everything. It's almost written like a history book as opposed to a novel. And so at first it took me a long time to get into it. I kept putting it down because I was like, I don't know, this isn't really. And then once I was like, okay, no, this is just like the pace of the novel. Like this is just how it goes. And once it starts getting into the action and like they're actually doing magic and, mm-hmm. and there's like a, what is he an elf? I can't remember.
The fairy.
He's a fairy. Thank you.
Fairy. Whoa. With the dandelion hair.
Yeah. Oh, he's. Yeah.
It's a lot about hubris and yeah. thinking you know better mm-hmm. than it's. I guess I would say God. You know that they do this thing. It's very like a Frankenstein book. You know mm-hmm. where they they're like scientific magicians, right?
Yes.
And they think they know best and they do not know best and they really screw things up. Mm-hmm. It's actually kind of a heartbreaking book.
At times it really, really is. But, oh, it's, God, it's beautiful.
And you know, there's a great recording of it. Ooh. I'm a sucker for a British accent and yes. the person who reads it, I can't remember who it is, but it's probably someone like Simon Vance. It's okay. one of the really great British book on tape recording artists records it, and it's like 50 hours long.
Yeah.
It's great. Highly recommended.
Man, that is such a good point. There are so many times now where I want to go back to books that either I struggled with initially, or I just want to do a reread, but they're really, really long. And I'm like, I should do the audiobook of them, because that, what a great way to like ingest that story. Like, I was talking to some booksellers in our previous episode, and we were talking about Gideon the Ninth, and I was like, yeah, I love Gideon the Ninth, but I did have kind of a hard time reading it because it's really kind of dense. It's almost written like the way high fantasy is written. Like, you really have to pay attention. Everything is important, but there's a lot going on. There's a lot of characters. There's a lot of description. It's not like a light, fluffy, like funny read, right? And they were like, do the audiobook. It's amazing. And I was like, why didn't I think of that? I was like, I love audiobooks. So yeah, I should go back and do that. Because I started watching, they adapted Strange and Norrell for television. They did like a mini series, and I saw the first couple episodes, and then I kind of fell off the train of watching it because I was watching it week to week. And I was watching it, and I was like, oh, this makes me really want to reread this story. I forgot how cool this story is. But oh gosh, what have I been reading though? I'm about to finish We Ride Upon Styx by Quan Berry, which I know Kelso really, really loved. It's blending into my green screen. We Ride Upon Styx. That one is the one that's the field hockey team in Danvers, Mass in the 80s, and they make a deal with the devil to win the state championship. And terrifying hilarity ensues. It's great. So I've been reading that for one of my book clubs, and loving it. It's like at times very, very funny, at times like a little spooky. And I really like the structure that they're writing it. It's like not quite meta, but like it's like the narrator is sort of like omniscient, right? So you're getting every chapter is following a different character, but you're also getting like what other characters are doing and thinking. But then like the narrator will be like, yeah, so this person didn't know yet, but they would find out that blah, blah, blah. Like it's very sort of we're going to get there. Like, remember this, put a pin in this, which is really fun. It's a little bit tongue in cheek. But I was cracking up because I was reading it. And so it takes place in Danvers, Mass, which is of course where the Salem witch trials actually happened. Cause it used to be Salem Village. But they go to, at the very beginning, like a field hockey clinic, like summer camp at UNH. And I was like, cool, I know UNH. I'm in New Hampshire. And they start talking about, there's a line where she's talking about the White Mountain air. And I was like, UNH is not the White Mountains.
No.
I was like, hold on a minute.
That's like seacoast air.
Yeah. And I think what the author meant was just like the New Hampshire air, like the fresh, like not the city Massachusetts air, but like this very clean New Hampshire air, which can be blamed on the White Mountains, is what I think they meant. But it reads as if UNH is in the White Mountains. And I was like, nope. Nice try. Good try. But everything else so far has been pretty spot on as far as like geography. So, and the author lives like in the Midwest or something. So I was like, all right, you know what? Good for you for nailing your geography. Whenever I write stories, like when I do NaNoWriMo and stuff like that, I have to make it a fantasy, a totally made up world, because I don't even think I could write a story that takes place in like the town where I live, because I would be so afraid of getting something wrong. Like, I know that I would screw something up, and then somebody would be like, hey, that intersection isn't there. Like, oh, I'm sorry.
When I just did that interview with Jessica Anthony about Enter the Aardvark, she actually got money to go to Leamington Spa in England. Nice. So she could like visit this place that she was writing about and get it right. And it was like, go you. What a great excuse to like say, oh, could you give me some money so I can just travel to England?
Make sure I get this right. Yeah. John Green did that with Amsterdam because there's a section of the Fault in Our Stars where the kids go to Amsterdam. Excuse me. And so he was like, okay, well, like, I want to get it right. So he like got a grant or whatever, and he got to go to Amsterdam for like a month and just write and walk the streets and make sure that everything was spot on.
To be back in that world where we do these things. I guess we're all writing fantasy now.
yeah. Oh, that's the other thing. I finally, I just finished The City We Became.
Oh.
Oh my God. What a good book. I did the audiobook of that.
The audiobook is great.
It was amazing. Yeah. So Libro FM sent us the advanced listening copy of that, and I'd had it in my queue for a really, really long time, and I finally listened to it because you, Hillary, were raving about it, and I really love N.K. Jemisin. That audiobook is one of the best produced audiobooks I've listened to in a very long time. Like, there's, I mean, then obviously, like, the narrator is amazing, but also, like, there are little like musical cues and like sound effects, but it's not like an overwhelming, like, oh, I'm listening to like a TV show. It's very like, I don't know. It's very subtle, but it works so well. But yeah, so the premise of that was fascinating. So it's like this world in which when a city gets to a certain level of like notoriety and population, they become sort of sentient, and they have like avatars assigned to them, or almost like demigods. And what I found fascinating was that it's just like normal humans all of a sudden are like, hey, wow, okay, I'm Brooklyn, I guess. I can poof, all of a sudden I can hear millions of people in my head because I'm the Bronx. Okay, we're doing this. So it follows the boroughs of New York trying to fight this like Lovecraftian creature from another universe that doesn't want the city to thrive or wants to take over the city. And they're also fighting against Staten Island because Staten Island also doesn't want to be part of New York, which I found very funny. I kind of want to like read up on N.K. Jemisin and see like what's going on with Staten Island? Cause
you know, she N.K. Jemisin did a great little Twitter thread where she said, I feel like I'm going to have to respond to some of the critique I'm getting about this book because the evil character in the book is this white woman. I mean,
they call her the woman in white.
This woman will take over other people's bodies and they kind of bleach out when she does, like their hair will turn very, very pale. And N.K. Jemisin said, you know, people are basically saying, oh, you're just saying white people are terrible. And she's like, no, that was not the point. The point was that it's nothingness, you know.
Yeah,
that
it's like leaching the color.
Sameness.
Yeah.
You know, being homogenous, being all one, you know, thing that is not very interesting or not very expressive. And she is in league with, well, she kind of dupes Staten Island into being on her side. But this is the first book in a trilogy, and you know Staten Island is going to get rescued by the rest of the boroughs. So I'm psyched.
Oh, I'm excited. I'm excited that it's going to be a trilogy. Yeah, I just thought it was so funny because it's very much like the avatar of Staten Island is this kind of like young woman I couldn't quite get, she's like maybe early 20s.
I think she's in her third. I think she says at some point she's like 31 or something.
Oh, is she? Okay. But she like lives at home, but like her father is like very conservative. He's a cop.
Irish.
But yes, exactly. And he's like a very conservative Irish Catholic cop. And so she's been raised, like it's not her fault. Like she's not a bad person. Like the Avatar isn't a bad person. She just doesn't know any different. She's never left Staten Island. And so she's surrounded by these like conservative views and like just all Caucasians. And so when she starts to be, you know, mildly exposed, like at one point she like goes to like the ferry because she's like considering going into the city, and she sees people of color and just like panics because she just has no experience with people of color, and all she has is like her very, very conservative Irish Catholic father in her head telling her she's in danger. And so it's like she's like racist because of the way she's raised. Mm-hmm. But then there are moments where like you get a little bit of like her mother being like, the world isn't necessarily this. Like, like her mother's like, she's not, she doesn't like stand up to the father, but she does kind of like go around a little bit. And she's like, listen, honey, like it's, you can like relax a little bit.
Yeah, but also, like, you know, she gave up everything.
Yeah.
Which I don't want to give it away, but there's very touching conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. It's actually a very sweet, yeah. Which is to be expected with an N.K. Jemisin book. You're going to get some really good mother-daughter stuff.
Oh yeah. Oh,
but no, I loved it, and I'm excited to read more because it was fascinating and fun and at times very funny and like, but also like it really, like she touches on heavy, heavy stuff. She touches on racism. She touches on sexism. She touches on like homophobia. And it's really like, it's a really rich book. And it's a really like, there's a lot that you could, like you could read this book over and over and like just get all of these really intense conversations out of it. I think it's going to be a really good book club book.
Yeah. Yeah. I can imagine that it might be a book club book that like some people get pissed off at.
Oh yeah.
Those are good book club books.
Yeah.
That's where you get into these really meaty discussions that are very important to have.
Yes.
And I just kept thinking, oh, I hope they make this into a movie.
Right?
Yeah, right? I mean, they're superheroes, you know? They're like these magical avatars of New York, and it's just, they fight monsters, and it's just so fun.
And it's super visual. Like, her descriptions of this, like, monster taking over the city is, like, they're these like huge white tentacles. Like it's a very like Cthulhu-ish type monster, but it's all white and shiny. And like sometimes you'll see people and like a person will be walking down the street and they just have like an antenna, basically. It's like this one small little tentacle like coming up from the back of their neck. Or like you'll see someone like riding a bike and it's just all wrapped up in the tires of the bike and like crawling up their leg. And it's
and
just
they're oblivious. They have no idea.
Oh.
To them.
Oh. Yeah, no, I loved it so much. It was so good.
If you've read the Broken Earth trilogy or the Inheritance trilogy or any of her other books, this is a much lighter read than those.
Yeah.
It's much breezier. It's much more of a beach book, I would say.
Although agreed.
It does really get into very serious, serious issues.
It does. Yeah. It's, I completely agree. I think part of it is because it's New York and we know New York. Whereas her other books are, it's world building, right? It's like a whole new big deep fantasy. But this is definitely like, it jumps right in. You don't really need any handholds. You can kind of like, you just get it. You're kind of there with the characters. It is very, very accessible and so good. But yeah, I can't recommend the audiobook highly enough.
The audiobook is excellent. I think it's going to win a prize.
It has to. It was amazing. I loved it so, so much.
You read it? We should find out who was the
American. Oh, it's let's see. I think I have it here. Narrated by Robin Miles.
Robin Miles, you are a fantastic reader.
She's amazing.
Thank you.
She did such a great job. I was so impressed. I loved it so, so much.
I'm going to have to look for other books that Robin Miles has narrated.
Absolutely. Yeah. So good. But Hillary, what have you been reading?
You know, because I've been gardening so much, I've really done a deep dive into some of these. Thank you, Libro FM.
Books. Yay!
These recordings. But I've been really getting into nonfiction recently for whatever reason. And I think part of it is because I feel like I need bucking up from voices from the past. You know, we're not the only people who've gone through tragic, hard times. And so I take a lot of comfort in reading or listening to these books about things, especially like World War II. We just, The Splendid and the Vile was, which just came out by Eric Larson. We were going to have a huge event with Eric Larson and it had to be canceled. Splendid and the Vile is a magnificent book. Please read it if you can get a chance to do it. It is about Winston Churchill responding to the Blitz in London. And what looked like, you know, an imminent attack coming to Great Britain, and it seemed like the Nazis were going to win the war. And it's an amazing story of people just sucking it up and doing what had to be done. But so there's a couple of other books that encompass some of that same territory that I just listened to. One is Chanel's Riviera by Anne DeCourcy. And everybody knows who Coco Chanel is, a great fashion designer, a real icon, you know, the creator of the little black dress. And I didn't realize this. She was, you know, I've got all of those dresses that have stripes across them. You know, they're based on Breton sailor sweaters. She was the first person who started wearing those.
Cool.
I know. So to this day, she was born in 1883. She was an orphan. Well, she wasn't. She was dumped in an orphanage. She was an illegitimate child dumped in an orphanage after her mother died. And she had an amazing life. She was very talented. The nuns taught her how to sew. And she just picked herself up and got it done. She was also kind of a terrible human being a lot of the time.
She
was kind of a Nazi collaborator.
And
basically, she was saved after the war because she's a very good friend of Winston Churchill. There are many, many British people who vacationed in the Riviera. And so she had all of these friends who were British who kind of bailed her out after the war. But she was also a woman of enormous appetites. She always had a lover. She was actually a drug addict too, which I didn't know. But it is this deep dive into that sort of world of, I think of like people like F. Scott Fitzgerald and Zelda Fitzgerald and Noel Coward and Winston Churchill, you know, in the 20s and 30s going to the Riviera. And she was just the sort of doyenne. She had this beautiful villa. Everybody came there and stayed with her. So you meet all kinds of interesting society people and artists. She was friends with people like Picasso you know, many, many others. So if you're interested in art and history, and also World War II, you get that. So Chanel's Riviera, highly recommended. The other one I'm reading right now is Square Haunting by Francesca Wade. The subtitle is Five Writers in London Between the Wars. And its subtitle in England is a little bit different. It's something like Five Women, Freedom, and Freedom Between the Wars. And it's really about these five female writers. The poet Hilda Doolittle, who's known as H.D., she's a very famous poet, the mystery writer, Dorothy Sayers, the classicist, Jane Harrison, an economic historian named Eileen Powell, and Virginia Woolf are the people that all lived in this one place, Mecklenburg Square, during various parts of their lives. And it is just a fascinating deep dive into culture and society, and just sexism, you know, the way people tried to narrow women's worlds, and how these women just said, we're not having it. Mm-hmm. They were all brilliant, and they just fought to have their own lives, you know, their room of their own.
Yeah.
This book is so satisfying for this moment when we are all suffering, because these people suffered even worse. I would have to say so one of the things that's happening here is not only World War I, but also the great influenza epidemic wiping people out. And then it ends with Virginia Woolf's suicide during World War II. She just couldn't take it anymore. But several of these women I knew nothing about. The classicist, Jane Harrison, is just fascinating. She's the person who said, you know, all of you Greek scholars, you have it wrong. This is not all about men. If you go and really look at these digs that are going on right now, you discover that these were cults of women goddesses that later were sublimated into these patriarchies. And she is really a person who influenced people like Mary Renault, who went on to write books like The King Must Die, you know, about Minoan culture, and just fascinating. Also women who were gay, some of them, and who were just like, I don't care what you think. I'm living openly with this woman that I love.
Mm-hmm.
Try and stop me. And then just mention briefly two others. This one, Origins, How Earth's History Shaped Human History by Lewis Dartnell, is amazing. This book is about how the Earth was formed billions of years ago and how geology shapes our current politics and our lives right now. Like things like, oh, you can see where people vote for Democrats in the United States, because that's where there was good soil for planting cotton. And to this day, a lot of the descendants of slaves live there, and they vote for Democrats.
Wow.
Yeah, it is such a fascinating read.
Oh my gosh.
That it also puts this moment into, it just makes it feel very small in comparison to this huge, big human story where, you know, people died out on a regular basis, you know, from plague. So
yeah.
At least we have the internet. And then the very last one I want to mention is Year 1000 by Valerie Hansen, Hansen. When explorers connected the world and globalization began. And it's great. It's all about the year 1000 and how there was this enormous amount of voyages of discovery happening. It covers Vikings, it covers Chinese adventurers, it covers European slaves, Genghis Khan is in here. I mean, it's just another one that helps put what we're going through right now into context. So go for history, people. It will make you feel better about the pandemic.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I was thinking sort of before we started recording about how, you know, I've just been hearing over and over from all sorts of people, and I've been feeling it too, of this brain fog, right? It's like everything's overwhelming and therefore I can't sit down and read, right? And so I've been thinking about like different sort of like ways to kind of recapture that ability to just devour a book. And I think we've already talked about so many different ways just in our discussion today. So like audiobooks, right? You just like, listen to a story. Someone's going to tell you a story. Like, it's a really pure, beautiful way to read a book, because it, I think part of it harkens back to like when you were a little kid and your parents are reading you books, or like your teachers are reading you stories at story time. Like, it's this very sort of like comforting, like, I'm going to put my headphones in and then I will have a story in my brain. Like, it's really, really nice. And then just kind of reading like these different genres. So like, I've been reading a lot of sci-fi fantasy, or like uplifting, you know, like uplifting literature, you know, romances and things like that. And then Hillary, like, you've been reading like nonfiction, because it's just kind of like putting things in perspective for you. So I just think, like, I know that a lot of our listeners have been kind of talking about their brain fog, and a lot of our customers have been talking about it. And I just think, like, there are ways to combat that, right? There are ways to kind of dive into a book. And like, I think right now is the best time to, like, if it's not grabbing you in the first few pages, like, try something else. Like, don't force it. You know what I mean? Like, usually I'm the type that if I start a book, I have to finish a book. Like, I'm very, I'm like about that life. But right now it's been very much like, if I pick up a book and it's not immediately pulling me in, I'm like, okay, well, I have, however, you know, I have like 400 books in my to read stack. So let's look at something else that is, you know, maybe going to grab me, or I'll put on an audiobook and just kind of like let it wash over me. So yeah, I just want to, like, I don't know, like, there's hope, there's ways. And of course we are always here to, give recommendations for folks. And like, jumping off of that, just bookstore, updates. So we are going to be opening for, shopping by appointment. So when this goes up, I think it'll be the first week that we're open for that. It's going to be pretty exclusive, because we are, you know, obviously going to abide by social distancing rules and things like that. So we're not opening the doors wide open, but, you will be able to schedule appointments. You'll buy a $25 gift card to kind of like solidify your spot. And then you'll get to come into the store and like chat with a bookseller and actually like see the books in person, which I know we've had so many people who are like, I just missed the bookstore.
I know. Isn't that sweet? Our customers call to order books and they're like, hi, how are you? Yeah. I love you.
Yeah. It's been really, really sweet. This like outpouring of love from our customers. So that's coming. And again, I think when this goes up, I think it's this week. So you'll be able to like have some one-on-one time 6 feet apart with a bookseller, which will be really nice. And then we also, you know, we're available phone and email. You know, we've definitely had people who are calling the store or emailing us being like, I don't know what to read, help. and so we're still available for that. Our Friday Reads posts on Facebook are also a really good place for that, because so many people are in the comments being like, oh, I'm reading this. And other people are like, ooh, I read that and I loved it. You should read this next. Like, that's a really great place to kind of like find your next read, because it's just, there's so much variety in what people are reading on there. Other things we're doing, 99-cent shipping still. That's on orders over $20. So we are still shipping nationwide. We can ship worldwide, but that doesn't count for the 99-cent shipping. We have to charge you full shipping for that. but so $20 and up, you can do the 99-cent shipping. We have recently put our sort of bundles online, so folks can fill out a form for their different sort of styles of bundles. There's activity book bundles, or I don't know, there's like a lot of different like craft bundles, things for kids. And we're also going to, you know, we have like greeting cards. So you can like tell us what the occasion is, how many cards you're looking for. Do you want it blank? Do you want there to be a message, et cetera, et cetera. You can fill out these forms and we'll be kind of like your personal shoppers. And we'll create a little bundle for you, create your
I
little
love
package.
Doing that.
It's fun, right? It's fun, really fun. Fun.
It's I haven't gotten to do that yet. I want to do cookbook bundles.
Yes.
Anybody out there, I love to cook.
Mm-hmm.
I would yes. first stop for you anytime you want cookbooks.
Yes. And I think we're also going to, we're going to start putting up bookseller curated recommendation lists. So Hillary might have a cookbook list that you'll be able to shop. So that's going to be really fun too. We're going to have sort of these shoppable lists on the website. So you can be like, oh, I'm looking for, you know, a sci-fi book. Okay, here's a whole list of that. Or, oh, I'm looking for a horror novel. Okay, cool. There's a list for that. Or, you know, I'm looking for some gardening books. Cool. We've got a list for that. You know, it's going to be nice. We're really sort of revamping our website right now to make it even more easily browsable and shoppable. And you'll notice if you go on our website, there's a big shiny donation button. if people want to support the bookstore, but they don't need a book right now, they're just feeling generous, you can send us donations, and that goes to supporting our staff and helping with shipping costs and all that good stuff. So that is available as well.
Can I just put in a word here for our
yeah.
Now I'm going to start crying as I say this, but Michael Herman, who owns the bookstore, committed to keeping everybody employed.
Yep.
And it's pretty amazing. I mean, you know, we're doing twice as much work for a third of the money right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I just... You never know somebody until a crisis hits and you see them step up.
Mm-hmm.
And he really stepped up for all of us. I'm sorry, I'm crying. It's so embarrassing. But
no, he's the best.
But it's, you know, a bookstore is very much like a nonprofit. I mean, literally.
Yeah.
Everybody works for peanuts. We do the work because we love it. Not to get rich. And in this crisis right now, where libraries are closed, bookstores are lifelines for people. They really are. I mean, mm-hmm. I feel like I've talked to customers on the phone who've called for advice about books because they're really lonely.
Yeah.
Because they're home alone and they can't go out. So anyway,
yeah,
that I just yay Michael Herman.
Yay Michael. Yeah, no, he's been amazing. He's been so accommodating for all of our staff. You know, we have folks who for various like there's just, you know, some of us are immunocompromised and what have you, and he's just been bending over backwards to make sure that everybody has what they need, that you know, we're the fact that he was able to keep everyone employed and that we were able to like not be like critically affected by this has been amazing. And you know, and that we were able to keep the bookstore open in some capacity this whole time, has been really, really wonderful. 'Cause I know a lot of bookstores did have to temporarily close and they took a huge hit from that. And like our customers have been supporting us this whole time. You know, really, you know, I've been blown away. I've been processing online orders this whole time. And I got to tell you, like, I mean, getting an average of like 40 to 60 online orders a day, and some of them are like for, you know, $100+ an order. Like it's been really, really touching to see, So yeah, so like, thank you, Michael. Thank you to our customers. Like, just, I don't, it's been really wild to realize that like, we really are essential.
Yeah.
It's been really, I don't know, like I always knew, like, I love books and I love being a bookseller and I love putting books in people's hands, but like, I never realized how like truly important the work is until this whole thing happened. And I was like, oh no, people need this in some way. Like, you know, we're certainly not doctors and nurses, but we kind of provide the last physical form of entertainment, right? Like,
and it's not just books. How many puzzles have we sold?
Jake's, oh my God, so many puzzles. So many puzzles. I did that one video, that one like walkthrough video where I showed off our puzzles and we sold like 40 puzzles that day.
No, they're all like, oh, week, and I was like, oh, they're all sold out. Sorry. But we got a lot more back in. So
yes. Yeah. But so yeah, so yes. Which is all to say that like the bookstore's doing, we're doing all right and mm-hmm. and we're not going anywhere. And but we still need support. We still need our customers. So yeah, so buying books, buying gift cards, shopping our bundles, donations, and also attending our virtual events.
Oh yeah.
Hillary mentioned hers earlier. She got to interview Jessica Anthony, Enter the Aardvark. That video is up online. It's on our YouTube page, it's on our Facebook page.
Can I just say something about that? If you have a chance, not for my sake, but for Jessica Anthony, she is one of the smartest writers I have ever talked to. She was just fascinating to talk to. And her book is hilarious. So please go watch it if you're into political satire and historical fiction and you want to hear a really smart person talking about writing. It was such a pleasure to talk to her.
Yeah, it was an awesome event. Highly recommend. And we've got, you know, this is normally the part where I would list all of our coming events. But, you know, they're, the schedule is so strange now because they sort of like pop up the week before. It's like, oh, okay, we're doing this one now. So basically, I'll just say that we do have a lot of events coming up. I'm just going to say watch our social media for those. You can go on the website. It's just gibsonsbookstore.com/event. And you can look at our events calendar and see what we've got scheduled as far as virtual events. They're all on Zoom. And we do record them to put them up later. Though it is more fun if you're there live because there's a chat function and you can like talk to the author. And like we did a story time with a local author and illustrator, Mark Hoffman, and he read, two picture books, and he was like doodling as well. But when that goes up, like we edited out parts, you know, we only left in like the beginning of each picture book because, you know, you can't put an entire book online. That's, the publisher would be a little cross if we did that. So it really pays to be there live. But then we do post them later so that if you did miss it, you can go watch our previous events, which is really fun. But
can I just jump in here with one event that I just wanted to say? We're going to start doing our book club. And I so far, I think I have about 5 club members who are like, I really want to do it. So it's going to be the regular time, 5:30 first Monday. And the next book is, we've missed a couple of books, but we're just going to stick to the schedule at this point. It's David McCullough's The Pioneers.
Awesome.
5:30 the first Monday in June. I can't remember exactly what day.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. We'll put all the links in the show notes and again, just like, you know, check our Facebook page. We put everything up there. Trying to keep people up to date on all our social media. So, because there's a lot going on and it's all on the internet, basically.
And I also just want to say, Elizabeth Jewell, yay you, our books coordinator has been so creative and hardworking during this time. I mean, she actually did a cooking show live.
That was so much
Kathy
fun.
Kathy Best, yes. Yeah, so, you know, she is working so hard. And
yeah.
Oh, yay. Yep. That was good.
Yep, she's been doing great. We've all been, like, adapting and figuring it out, and it seems to be working. So, you know, who knows what the future holds. I mean, things change day to day, but yeah. And we've got some cool podcast content coming up as well, which is very cool.
Can I say one thing
for you? Yeah, dude.
So I've been doing a lot of the shipping since this whole thing started, and I believe as of when this is coming out, I will have definitely sent out my 1,000th book.
Yay!
So I want to thank everybody who's listening and all of our customers who have continued to send us books through the mail. I want to thank USPS for doing an awesome job. We yes. didn't lose any packages, you know, and we are sending out a lot of books almost every single day.
Yeah.
And so I'm very thankful that, you know, it does take a bit. So you need to like delay your instant gratification, but
yes.
nothing has been lost. Things have been getting to places on time. I don't think we've lost a book since we started, and a nope. 1,000 books. That's a lot.
You guys should see Kelso work. She is a shipping animal. It is amazing. I was like, can I do shipping? And Michael was like, no, you cannot do shipping. Because Kelso is really good at it.
yeah, I am. Yeah, it's because I used to work in a warehouse, a book warehouse. So I'm used to like looking things around and doing it quickly. Yeah. But like, it's fine. If you guys want to click, come in, that's fine too. It's just, he's like,
you've well, got you it down though.
How many an hour? Like, so yeah, but I've shipped out my 1,000th book as of this recording. Thank you. Stay home. Let me ship you books. Like yes. curbside is great. Don't get me wrong. I know we want to see your faces, but like, stay home. Let me ship you your stuff. Cause I love shipping out books. So, yeah.
Yes.
Who knew?
All right.
Is the best. Oh man. All right. Let's see. So just as a, you know, reminder, we talked a lot about audiobooks today. We do still have our special code with Libre.fm. So if you go to Libre.fm/Gibson's Bookstore and start a membership, and at checkout, you put in the code LAYDOWN, you'll get 3 audiobooks for the price of 1. That is an amazing deal. They're an amazing company. We love them so much. They've been doing a lot of really cool stuff during quarantine. They raised a ton of money for the for Bank, the bookseller, the like indie bookseller sort of charity that exists. They raised a ton of money for them, and they've just been phenomenal. And we love them. And when I got to go to Winter Institute in January, I actually got to meet all of Libre FM because there's 3 of them. and I got to chat with them a little bit and sort of thank them for their work and for sponsoring us. So definitely, absolutely, like, if you're, especially if you're having trouble reading right now, like, go the Libre FM route. Listen to audiobooks because it's the best. All right. You can email us about the podcast at thelaydownpodcast@gmail.com. Our website is gibsonsbookstore.com, and we're also on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And we'll put those links in the show notes along with all of the books we talked about today. Thank you all so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll know when we upload our next episode, and consider leaving us a nice review. Until next time, we'll see you in the stacks.
Bye. Bye.